darshanam te parivrashta satkarmanam
darshanam te parivrashta satkarmanam
kirtyaman indrabhihi namni yageshate
kirtyaman indrabhihi namni yageshate
yagya vigna kshayam yanti tasmai namaha
yagya vigna kshayam yanti tasmai namaha. But now, you are personally present. The performance of yajna by daksha was obstructed by the disciples and followers of the Lord Shiva. The brahmanas indirectly criticized the followers of the Lord Shiva, but because the brahmanas were always protected by Vishnu, Lord Shiva's followers could not do any harm to their prosecution of the sacrificial process. There is a saying that when Krishna protects someone, no one can do him harm, and when Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can protect him. The vivid example was Ravana. Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but when Lord Ramchandra wanted to kill him, Lord Shiva could not protect him. If some demigod, even Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, wants to do harm to a devotee, the Lord Krishna protects the devotee. But when Krishna wants to kill someone, such as Ravana or Anantasi, the demigod can protect him. Micah has said, after Lord Vishnu was glorified by all present, Daksha, his consciousness purified, arranged to begin again the yajna, which had been devastated by the followers of Lord Shiva. Maitreya continued, my dear sinless Vidura, Lord Vishnu was actually the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices. Yet because of his being the supersoul of all living entities, he was satisfied simply with his share of the sacrificial offerings. He therefore addressed Daksha in a pleasing attitude. Wherefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Bhaktara Miri Tapasam, Lord Vishnu or Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all the results of sacrifices, austerities, and penances. But whenever one may engage, the ultimate goal is Vishnu. If a person does not know that, he is misled. As the Supreme Personality of God, Vishnu is nothing to demand from anyone. He is self-satisfied, self-sufficient. But he accepts the offerings of the yajna because of his friendly attitude toward all of the entities. When his share of the sacrificial offering was offered to him, he appeared very pleased. It is said in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palam Payam Yome Bhakta Prayachati, if any devotee offers him even a small leaf or water or flower or water, if it is offered with love and affection, the Lord accepts them as pleased. Although he is self-sufficient and does not need anything from anyone, he accepts such offerings because as super soul he has such a friendly attitude towards all living entities. Another point here is that he does not encroach upon another's share. In the yajna there is a share for the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, and a share for Lord Vishnu. He is satisfied with his own share, does not encroach upon others. Indirectly, he indicated that he was not satisfied with Daksha trying to deny Lord Shiva his share. Maitreya addressed Vidura as sinless because Vidura was a pure devotee and never committed any offense to any demigod. Although Vaishnavas accept Lord Vishnu as the supreme, they are not prone to offend demigods. They give demigods proper respect. Vaishnavas accept Lord Shiva as the best Vaishnava. For the Vaishnava, there is no possibility of offending any demigods. And demigods are also pleased with the Vaishnavas because they are faultless devotees of Lord Vishnu. Translation, dear Lord, we were awaiting your audience because we are unable to perform the yajna according to the Vedic rituals. We pray unto you, therefore, to be pleased with us. Simply by chanting your holy name, one can surpass all obstacles. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you in your presence. So, this is the conclusion of the prayers of the different persons. So the Brahmins conclude by offering prayers to the Lord so that they can continue their sacrifice. Everything was interrupted and now they pray that the process can be completed. The interesting point here is that they say Kriyamani Nirbir Namni Yajna, that everything is perfect because of the chanting of your name. So, though the Lord himself personally appeared, they're also praising the fact that his name has the same power. Everything is accomplished by the name of the Supreme Lord. So they are recognizing that Krishna and his name are non-different, or Vishnu and his name are non-different. They also recognize here the power of the name of the Lord. Nevertheless, we also see that they are presently engaged in sacrifices. Why is it so they chant the holy name of the Lord? Much easier. So, answer is that they also have a certain function to perform. Their function is to do sacrifices. This is described in detail in the Vedic literature, so therefore they are dedicated to this process of the Lord. A much easier process, of course, is simply chanting the name of the Lord. That is the process we follow in Kali Yuga. And we do this to the exclusion of all other processes. In other ages, however, name is there, but other processes become prominent as the Yuga Dharma. So therefore we have meditation and sacrifice and deity worship as prominent modes of approaching the Supreme Lord, even though the name is there. So All the processes function for the same purpose, but according to the will of the Lord at different times, people engage in different processes. So here the Lord is blessing these people to continue sacrifice. Let them do sacrifices. So he is giving them the strength to carry out this process. So we should not think that all sacrifices are karma kanda, because yajna is also a process of worshiping Vishnu. So this is a bona fide process. If the people take the sacrifice as simply a means of material benefits, then of course the point becomes lost. In any case, they still have to worship Vishnu, but it is at best a very secondary type of bhakti. So when we talk about Yuga Dharma, that is actually bhakti itself. Whether it is sacrifice or meditation or chanting of the name or deity worship, that's all bhakti. But where bhakti becomes a secondary factor, then we'll have sacrifices with a little bhakti in recognition of the Lord. So that is not on the same level. That is considered karma kanda or karma yoga instead. So those processes were recommended in other ages. That is why Krishna mentions karma yoga in the Bhagavad Gita and jnana yoga and astanga yoga, because they were done as processes also. So along with the processes of bhakti, such as meditation, homa, and deity worship, we also have this gradual approach, indirect approach to the Lord through karma yoga and jnana yoga and astanga yoga. So they do have some bona fide shastric references, but not in Kali Yuga. So the process of karma can be followed and is encouraged by the Lord and is encouraged by the Manus and the kings. Yeah? But this does not work very well in Kali Yuga, because there are no kings left and there's no Varnashram system left. Yeah? And people have no intelligence and they're simply attached to material enjoyment. So the process doesn't work very well to start out with karma yoga and do the rest. And therefore, these types of things are condemned in the Bhagavatam. Not condemned completely, but condemned for us in Kali Yuga. So karma is allowed, of course, even then, whenever, it is still secondary. But at least it is allowed as one process for the common people. But even in other ages, bhakti is ultimately the best process. But nevertheless, the gradual process is also given for the common people. So therefore, we'll see this absorption of sacrifices accepted here, even though they recognize the Supreme Lord and His name, etc. They are trying to institute dharma and karma as a process. So this is the will of the Lord. He sets up a system with artha, dharma, karma, and moksha in it for the people in general. He also gives the process of bhakti as the ultimate goal. So they approach bhakti through this other process of dharma, etc. However, in Kali Yuga, the process is simply to do bhakti and not the other processes, particularly chanting and hearing process. So name is recognized in the Vedas. Actually, we'll see in the Vedas there are praises of the name. And Lord Chaitanya himself said, actually, we should understand that Om is a name of Vishnu. And this name is repeated everywhere, in front of every mantra in the Vedas. So there is a prominence of the name of the Lord. And another meaning of the word pranava, which means the om, omkar is pranava. The meaning of that is to praise, pra-nu. Nu, the root is nu, nu means to praise. So, in other words, pranava means praise of the Lord. So it is a name in praise of the Lord, and that's kirtan also means praise of the Lord. So om also is kirtan. It is a praise of the Supreme Lord. So this is very prominent, because that is the, that simply the name of the Lord is mentioned everywhere in the Vedas. It is attached to every mantra. So we find there is a prominence of nama also in the Vedas because of that. So then Maitreya he explains that Vishnu was pleased simply with taking his share of the sacrifice. All the devatas get a share, and Shiva also gets a share, and Vishnu gets a share. So Vishnu is recognized. On the other hand, we also know that actually Vishnu should get everything because he is ultimate. Nevertheless, in the rules of karma, shares are given out to all the different devatas, etc. And so this is somewhat of a compromise. And in Kali Yuga, people will take this differently. They'll think that because of this, the devatas are independent of Vishnu. So that is what is called Avidhi Purvakam. They think that the devatas are independent. They are given a share, Vishnu is given a share. Therefore, they're all equal. That is offensive. That is Avidhi Purvakam. So the proper way, if we want to worship devatas, is to recognize that they are all dependent upon Vishnu. Even if they're given their share or whatever in the sacrifice. Nevertheless, understand that Vishnu is the main person, everyone else is secondary to that. In that way, the sacrifices should be carried out. Prabhupada mentions here in the purport that one should not disrespect the devatas, as the devatas are respected here in the yajna as part of dharma, the devata worship, etc. So we'll find even in the bhakti shastras, such as Nectar of Devotion, one of the rules is don't disrespect devatas, in spite of the fact we say don't worship devatas. So that looks a little contradictory. If you don't worship them, it looks disrespectful. Because worship and respect are considered synonymous. So if you don't respect somebody, you're not worshiping them. It's the same thing. For instance, if you don't worship the Brahmana, you're disrespecting him. So don't worship the devatas, you're disrespecting them. And therefore, one of the offenses is don't disrespect the devatas. So that means you should worship the devatas. On the other hand, say don't worship the devatas, so worship only Krishna. So looks like a little contradiction there. So the meaning is that, for the Vaishnavas, yes, we respect all devatas because they're also servants of the Lord. They're doing their service for the Lord. The Lord appears before them. The Lord comes into the material world as avatar to protect the devatas because the demons attack. The demons may attack human beings, but greater than human beings are devatas. So the big demons, they attack the devatas. That's more serious. Therefore, the Supreme Lord comes and he protects Indra and all the devatas whenever there is a problem. So, therefore, we see that they're also devotees of the Lord. We cannot criticize them. So they are carrying out functions. What we do criticize is the way in which people worship them. They worship with a mistaken idea. So when they worship them as independent of the Lord, are equal to the Lord in power, etc., then that is to be criticized. We should not criticize the devatas for their specific functions, their specific duties that they carry out. So if the duties cooperate very nicely with the devotees, then the devotees can perform their devotional service very nicely. And if they don't cooperate, then your service is interrupted. Many reasons, because they control your body and your senses and whatever. So if you're not in good health and everything, then it is more difficult for devotional service. But therefore, the devatas can also cooperate with the devotees and be favorable for the devotional service. The devatas should be respected as servants of the Lord to help the devotee in his devotional service. And we will see, of course, even in the spiritual world there are devatas. So there are Dikpalas in the spiritual world are run by Kunta. And so there is Indra and Shiva in different directions around the Vaikuntha capital. Of course, they're not material devatas there, they've got spiritual bodies. So they carry out functions in the spiritual world also, devatas. So material world they do, but in the material world they are jivas, and they still may have some conditioning on them because they're jivas in the material world. In the spiritual world they are perfect. material world, we may have some defects as jivas. In any case, they are serving the Supreme Lord, so we don't disrespect them. So the Lord himself respects the devatas, and therefore they are given a share of the sacrifice, and Lord Vishnu takes his share also. He does not interfere with their worship as well. So this is the attitude of the Vaishnava. He respects all the devatas. And what to speak of David is he also respects all human beings and all living entities. One of the other offenses of Gunaks and Bhakti is to disrespect any living entity. And of course we also worship living entities like the Brahman, the cow, and Tulsi tree, and Asa tree, etc. And we respect all living entities. We don't disrespect them or harm them in any way. So, what to speak of the devatas and who are Vaishnavas also, so we must also give them proper respect. Oh, yeah, the process in Kali Yuga where we don't worship devatas is if we worship the Supreme Lord, everybody's satisfied. Like you offer the root of the tree, all the branches are satisfied. So this is the simple process in bhakti. So if you only worship Vishnu and neglect the worship of others, do not consider that to be offense against the devatas, because the devatas become satisfied. If the Lord is satisfied, everybody is satisfied. If the Lord is not satisfied, even the devatas aren't satisfied. If we satisfy the Lord, all the devatas are also satisfied.
That can be applied to that.
Can, but as I said, they're doing this for people in other yugas, in other ages, where the process of karma and gyan and yoga are also recommended. So, for that purpose, they just do this. Oh, demigods. Yes, I said many people mistake the worship of devatas, and they will worship devatas without any worship of the Supreme Lord. We do see in some temples, however, where they do worship Vishnu first. So, for instance, I think in Bhubaneswar, which temple was that?
The Vasudeva
temple. Yeah, they worship Vishnu before they offer the respects to the. I guess Durga, Shiva, Lingeshwar temple. Yeah. So they worship Vishnu first before they worship Shiva. So some temples do that, but most, of course, don't. So then you could say this is the wrong process that they think it is all independence. Well, no. They're doing it improperly. So here we see the process is part goes to Vishnu. Part goes to the devatas, this worship. So that anyone who wants to worship devatas also has to worship Vishnu. So Yuga Dharma means that this is the process for the main process for everybody to deliver all the people. There may be some who do other processes of bhakti also, primarily, but for the people at large, the main process is chanting the holy name. It doesn't mean you can't do other processes, but one should be qualified to do those processes. So if we look at the sampradayas, many of them do kirtan also. So Nimbarkas also do kirtan, and Vallabhas also do kirtan, etc. So they all do that, along with deity worship. Or then maybe even in the Madhva Sampradaya, they also do kirtan. It may not be as prominent, but they also do. And the same in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. So generally it's a mixture of two things. There's going to be deity worship and kirtan and hearing process, those processes, along with sadhu sangha. But we'll find that in Madhava Sampradaya and the Ramanuja Sampradaya, there's a little more emphasis upon the worship of the deity. But they still have some kirtan.
So it seems like that people in the age of Kali is more fortunate than the people in the other age, because they get the direct process by which they can have the mercy of the Lord with them.
Well, all processes of bhakti are direct.
Even sacrifice and meditation.
Yeah, they're all direct. If it's bhakti. If they're karma, it's indirect. If it's bhakti, it's direct. So any process of bhakti will produce more bhakti or whatever. So, but the difference is that they may require higher qualifications. So therefore, in Satya Yuga, you can do jhana as the Yuga Dharma, but you can't do that in Kali Yuga, because people are not qualified for that, because they're not even subject. But it's direct, because you meditate on the Lord and you get a result. Of course, you can say it's not as quick, because Nam Kirtan is very, very powerful and quickly brings them to the highest goal. But nevertheless, they're all direct processes. All the processes of bhakti are direct.
Still, like the problem for Shiva, this area, it is a lot of obstacles. The system of violence is also not broken. Shiva serves, it is good area where Dharma is hiding.
Yeah, it's all condemned because it interrupted the whole process. This is the whole thing here. The process was interrupted, so the Devatas went to Brahma, Brahma went to Shiva, and then they came, and then Vishnu himself appeared to
recognize. Okay, I understand that all of the Shiva were not properly trained or
anything. Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. But then ultimately it was Daksha's fault.
So that means that any fault is there, only the violence is the only thing, or you can have other things. Just fighting and solving the problem. But that we think that way, another way, so all those going fighting the plan has stopped the idea.
What? If some mistake is that, this violence is the only way to repel.
Is there any other way to exactly?
Yes.
Get a fight.
Yeah, so.
But that could have been avoided.
Well, they could have, if they controlled themselves. Because we have to understand, of course, the followers of Lord Shiva are in Tamagun. They may display the Tamagun qualities if Shiva is disrespected or whatever. But we'll see that the Brahmanas also showed Tamagun qualities, because they also got angry. So everything was spoiled because of the influence of Tamagun. And ultimately, we trace it back to Lord to Daksha, because he was proud and he didn't give respect to Lord Shiva properly. Generally, they don't worship Krishna, because Krishna only appears once in the day of Brahma. Most people don't know about Krishna. They know about Rama and Narasimha and Vishnu. So they worship those ones. So they go there.
Grantra Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Kisoridas Paramahans ki
jai.
Gyanjali Gurupriyamantra Prabhupada ki
jai.
Sagopramandhi.
Yesterday they got it.